Okay, we'll do a quick review of what we talked about last week, and then we'll finish off the topic of Birchot HaTorah. Last week, we had this introduction to Birchot HaTorah, how important they are. That was the source of the Galut, Alma of the Haaretz, Al Azvam Torati, that they didn't make a bracha. We taught in the Aruch HaShulchan that it's Birchot HaTorah Gedola Me'od Me'od, Lachin Yizahir Ba Me'od Me'od. The importance of it. Then we talked about whether it's a mitzvah d'oraita or mitzvah d'rabbanan. Usually, brachot or mitzvah d'rabbanan, birchat haTorah are one of the few examples of something that is a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah d'oraita. It's a mitzvah d'oraita, that and benching, and that's what the Gemara is. Not all the Rishonim say that it's a d'oraita. The Rambam, I think, was silent as to whether it's a d'oraita. He didn't count it as a mitzvah d'oraita, but he also, I don't know if he ever clearly said that it was mitzvah d'rabbanan, so that led to what we saw a little bit last week of a discussion if the Rambam thinks it's a mitzvah d'oraita to say Birchot HaTorah, but certainly the Ramban is very clear that it's a d'oraita, and we generally assume that it's a mitzvah d'oraita to say Birchot HaTorah, and that's why the practical ramification, the nafkamina, if you forget, because we say safek d'oraita l'chumra, and safek d'rabbanan l'kula, and that is actually going to come back at the end of today. We're going to come back to that point regards to staying up the whole night and whether you should say Birchot HaTorah or not. But we basically paskin that if there's a suffix, you do need to say again because it's a mitzvah d'oraita. But the Mishnah Berurah tells us that we're not going to make you say all of the Birchot HaTorah again. You would only say Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim. That's what the Gemara says was the Ma'ula. That's the best of the Brachot of the Birchot HaTorah, the better of the two or three. We also talked about that last week. We'll come to that in a second. Yeah. So if there's a doubt, you would only say Asher Bachar Banu Mikol Ha'amim. Or what you could do is, and we talked about this also last week, and this is also going to come up. We'll see this. That'll be our first new thing for today. You could have intention in the Bracha of Ahava Rabbah to fulfill the mitzvah of Birchot HaTorah. We noted last week the language is very similar, that we have Lil Modu Lil Amed in Avaraba, we have Habocher Be'amo Yisrael, and that's the same thing as Asher Habocher Be'amo Yisrael and Asher Bachar Banu, and then V'natan Lanu HaTorato is kind of like Lil Modu Lil Amed. Both of them have an aspect of us learning Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu giving us the Torah. So if you're in doubt, you could have kavana in Ahava Rabba.
What about Lasok Divrei Torah? You couldn't substitute that one too?
You couldn't substitute. Oh, does that one appear anywhere in?
In other words, instead of if
you didn't say either of them, then you would just have to say Ahava Rabba. I don't think we need to find a perfect substitute for the lasok, but maybe that's because Asher Bachar Banu was the bracha, that's the better one anyway. Right. So you know, we wouldn't need to find the substitute. It would Ahava Rabbah. Either you can say lasok and Asher Bachar Banu, or if you didn't say either of those, then you just have to say Ahava Rabbah, and then you fulfill it and it's good. With the caveat, and we'll see the caveat in a minute, quoted in Tosvos, that you would need to, if you want to rely on Ahava Rabbah, you really ideally need to learn right after davening. You would need to learn right after davening, which is not the case for the Lasok B'Divrei Torah, or it might not be the case, and that's actually what we're going to talk about now. So, one other thing, actually, before we get to that, just a quick review, is we saw these brachot come from the Gemara, almost verbatim. This was what we had in Source 14, the Gemara brachot, Daf Yud Aleph Amabet, almost verbatim has the brachot that we're saying them today. So the question was, how many birchot HaTorah are there? Are there two, or are there three? You have, Asher Kiddushanu B'mitzvotav Yisivanu La'asok B'divrei Torah. Then you have an either Ha'arevna or V'Ha'arevna. One of them has the Vav that connects it. Then you have Asher Bachar Banu. Is that two or is that three? With the ramification, the only real ramification, and I think it's the only real ramification is if you're listening to somebody else make the brachas, like on Shavuos night, as often happens, which we'll also talk. Which, like I said, we'll come to that in more detail later on. But should you say amen after la'asok b'divrei Torah? If it's the middle of a bracha, right? If there are only two brachas, if lasok goes with viha arevna, with the vav that connects the two, you wouldn't say amen. You don't say amen in the middle of a bracha. You say amen at the end. So you should say amen at the end. If they're separate brachot, then you would say amen after each one. The Rambam, I believe, says that they're separate, but the Shulchan Aruch said, sorry, the Yeah, the Shulchan Aruch says, we say with the Vav that it's two brachot. The Ramah quotes the Rambam that it's three, but then says, Tov Yoter, to say it with the Vav. It sounds very much like it's two brachot, and that's why on Shavuos night, for anybody who stays up and you listen to other people make the brachot, or if you're the chazan because you went to sleep, or we'll talk more about that later on. And it might be, if you're listening, don't say amen after Lasok B'divrei Torah. And if you're the chazan, maybe try to, don't even pause for people to say amen, just go right into Vaharevna so that nobody thinks that they should say amen at that point in time. Okay, so now the question is, and this is what we're going to talk about this week, is, and this is going to come up in all the top, I think in everything that we're going to talk about this week, is how do we characterize Birchot HaTorah? And we already saw Source 18 last week, just as a way of getting us foreshadowing what was going to come for this week. The question is, are Birchot HaTorah a brachot that are a Birchot HaMitzvah? Are they like a bracha that you say on a mitzvah? What would the mitzvah here be? The mitzvah would be learning Torah, right, with some mitzvah, the right to learn Torah, mitzvah, the right to make these brachas. Is it a birchot mitzvah like lulav, right? You want to make anything that we're going to compare it to is going to be a derabanan, so just put that in the back of your minds. But is it a birchot mitzvah like lulav that you make the bracha and you got to do it right away? And if you did it 5 minutes later, the bracha, it was a bracha levatala, didn't count? Or is it a birchot hashevach? Birchot hashevach is a bracha that we make that praises HaKadosh Baruch Hu for things. And it's not really connected to an event. It's not really necessarily connected to anything else. And this is what we spoke about actually already. I have to go back to a few weeks before Pesach, by the Birchot HaShachar. There were some opinions that, right, if you didn't sleep, you shouldn't say Hamavir Shena, because it sounded like that was a bracha on some type of personal event, which still could have been a Birchot HaShavach, but we really say that a Birchot HaShavach, because we praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're giving praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for letting people stand up and for people to wake up, and it's like a general Birchot HaShavach. So is Birchot HaTorah a bracha on the mitzvah of learning Torah, or is it a Birchot HaShavach? It's a bracha that we're praising God for giving us the Torah. And what makes this question more difficult, and then I'll pause if anybody has questions or comments, what makes the bracha more difficult is that I think we generally assume that it's just one unit, but the first bracha, as Asher Kiddushanu b'mitzvotav yitzivanu la'asok b'divrei Torah, sounds very much like a bracha that you make about to do a mitzvah. Sounds very much like it. There's an action, la'asok, to make yourself busy with. It's kind of in the format of a birchot mitzvah. And the other one is Asher Bachar Banu. We're not making a bracha about on the tilat lulav or about to put up a mezuzah or any of the other. We're basically thanking God for giving us the Torah. That sounds very much like a birchot shevach. We're praising God for giving us Torah. I think I've seen in years past that maybe you can make a distinction that one is one and one is the other, and that it makes it a lot more complicated. But I think the basic way to understand this is that it goes together. The Gemara in Source 14 in Brachos Yudav Mavet puts these all together. So it's definitely the more basic way to understand it is that it's one type of bracha. It's either one or the other. So what is it? And we're going to see we're going to spend most of our time talking about the practical ramifications that emerge from this question. So now,
isn't it true that what we talked about last week, that's why at the end, that's Berakas Torah, the thing is, the three little bites that are added into it, remember we showed it?
Yeah, we're going to come to that right now in Tosfos,
And they're all taken from everything. One is taken from Shabbos.
Right. So we're gonna see that right now at the end of Tosfos. So let's take a look at this Tosfos. It's a somewhat long Tosfos. I think it takes up most of the Amud inside. It's very interesting to see it inside. Tosfos raises some very good questions. So Tosfos says, so that was the Gemara that he's commenting on. Okay, B'Yerushalmi. So he quotes Tosfos quotes the Yerushalmi. Yesh had amrina and shekfar niftar bi'ava rabba. The Yerushalmi says that if you forgot to make the bracha, the birchot haTorah, you exempted yourself when you said ava rabba, like we talked about a few minutes ago. V'hu sheshana al atar. But it's only if you learn right then and there. Perush la alter shelamad miyad ba'oto makom. The Yerushalmi says that you have to learn right away, right after Ava Rabba, if you want that to count for your, if you want it to count for your Birchas HaTorah.
Right after davening.
Right after davening.
Wow.
right after davening. I think you asked last week about Shema, so we didn't see it inside, but in the previous page on the bottom, the Panina Lechon in a footnote quotes that it's a machlokus, but he thinks most of the Achronim say Shema doesn't count as your Talmud Torah, and you would have to learn after. But he also says Uvalet Zion is Talmud Torah, mm-hmm. so really, if you're davening with a sitter, like we're davening Bizman Azeh, you wouldn't necessarily have to then sit down after you finish davening and open up a sefer and learn it, because we already did that on Uvalet Zion. So the Yerushalmi says it. So now look at this question that they ask the Ri in the second line in Tosfos. V'nisha leharav Rabbeinu Yitzchak. So now they ask the Ri, one of the great Bali Tosfot, Kigon anu she'ein anu lom din miyad l'achar tefilat ha-shachar she'anu tru din v'holchin kach b'lo limud adem sayomo yoter. So he said, they say, whoever approached him said, what about us? We don't learn after davening. They just, Tosfos says that they are tru din v'holchin. They're busy. Presumably they're going to right away to work. They have to work all day in the fields, wherever they're working. They don't have time to sit down and to learn after davening. Amai einanu mevarchin birchat haTorah pam acherek kishanu matchilin lilmod. Why don't we have to say birchat haTorah when we sit down and learn later in the day? So this is going to be already one of our nafkaminas. Is what about when there's a big break? Usually for birchat haMitzvah, if you have a big break and then you continue the mitzvah, you'd have to make another bracha. Why don't you have to make another bracha when you learn later on in the day? This is the question that they ask the Ri. Okay. Also, they're basically taking this requirement from Ava Rabba and applying it to the brachot at the beginning, which is also a bit of a question, but they're equating the two that you'd have to. The Hey Shivri. So the question to the Ri again is, what about them? They would say the brach, Birchot HaTorah, and they wouldn't learn afterwards. They wouldn't say the psukim presumably afterwards. We'll see that from the end of Tosfos, right? They would just say the brachot, then they would daven, and then they would go run to work. They didn't have time to sit and learn. And then when they would take out a sefer 5 hours later, 10 hours later, why shouldn't they make a bracha again? Right, so what's the question? The question assumes that they're a birchot hamitzvah. The question assumes it's a birchot hamitzvah. The Hei Shivri, so the Ri gives a few answers. One, Delo kayim alan ka'oto Yerushalmi. Ho v'gamara shalanu lo amru. So the Ri answers, he says, we don't paskin that way. First of all, we don't necessarily have to learn right afterwards. Our Gemara doesn't say, the Bavli doesn't say you have to learn right afterwards. What says it? It's the Yerushalmi. And there's a rule. Whenever the Bavli and the Yerushalmi argue, we paskin like the Bavli. A lot of times it's a machloket if they're really arguing or if they're in agreement. So clearly the questioners assume that they were in agreement. And the Ri says, no, they're arguing. So if they're arguing and the Bavli does not require you to learn right after, then the Bavli assumes that the brachot are a birchot hashevach. There are birchot hashevach. You don't have to learn right after. You're thanking, you're praising God. Tosos gives different answers, and different answers fit into different of these categories. But the Ri doesn't say this. This is what we can read into the Ri. So it's probably possible that other Rishonim Achronim say differently if they're talking about this. But it's very plausible that for the Ri, it's a birchot hashevach. You don't have to learn right after, because the bracha that you're making are praising God, and it's not a birchot mitzvah. If it was a bracha on the mitzvah that you have on the learning Torah, then you'd have to learn Torah right afterwards, just like you have to shake your lulav right after you make the bracha on it. Va'od, and then he says, Va'od afilu lefi Yerushalmi, dafka ava rabba delo have ikar bracha le birchat haTorah, de ikar ava rabba le kriyat shema nitalkin, vishvil hi einu niftam re birchat haTorah, le yilmod miyad, vegam im lo yasa hesachadat. So then he says, maybe there's a difference between the two. We don't have to equate the same requirements for Ava Rabba to the Birchot HaTorah and the Birchot HaTorah, that Ava Rabba, because it wasn't really established as a Birchot HaTorah, it was really established as a bracha on Kriyat Shema, then you need to have Kavana and learn after to show that you were using it as a Birchot HaTorah. But the Birchot HaTorah, which were established as Birchot HaTorah, you wouldn't necessarily need to learn afterwards. This is his second answer. And then he continues it, and then he's going to ask another very interesting question. So those are good. Those are because that was established for Birchot HaTorah. It's you don't have to learn right away. Afterwards, you can learn later on in the day too, and that still counts. So now, if this is true, that your Birchot HaTorah counts for the rest of the day. Now look at Tosos's question. If you're going to tell me that that there's a difference between Ava Rabba, that Ava Rabba you have to learn right after, but Birchot HaTorah you can learn at any point during the day, and the bracha counts for the whole time, why is it that when you go into your sukkah, you say Leishei Vasukkah, and you sit down and you eat, then you leave, then you come back 3 hours later for lunch, and what do? Say another Leishei Vasukkah, then you eat, then you leave, then you come back for dinner, and what do? You say another Leishei Vasukkah. Why do you say one bracha in the morning for all the Torah that you're going to learn the whole day? We're very much getting into now. He's assuming his first answer is that it's a birchas hashavach. Now he started. It sounds very much like he's saying it's a birchas mitzvah that you're saying it on Torah that you're going to learn, but you can learn it at any point during the day. It doesn't have to be right. Doesn't have to be right away. You wouldn't have to make bracha again. And why for sukkah? Why for sukkah? Every single time you go into the sukkah, you have to make a new bracha. What's the difference? And he says, "V'yesh lomar the shiny Torah." Torah is different. It still is a birchot hamitzvah, but Torah is fundamentally different than sukkah and then all other birchot hamitzvah. She'eno miyaish dato dechos sha'a adam mechuyav lilmod. There's never really you never stop. Yeah, never, there's never a break. You're never stopping. Torah is always there. You're always obligated to learn. That you should think about Torah day and night. That's a pasuk from Yoshua. It's as if you sat all day without a hefsek. Your Torah is a 24/7 obligation. So because it's a 24/7 obligation, and it's always in your mind, you're always thinking about it in some sort of way, then even if you said the bracha now, but learn 10 hours later, the bracha now still counts because the whole time you had Torah somewhere in the back of your mind. There's two ways to understand this.
Your actions, the way even when you're going to work, it's supposed to be in a Torah manner.
Okay.
So you're sort of involved.
Okay, very good. Very good. So I wasn't sure if I should do this now or later. Let's see that. That's exactly what the Panina Halacha says in Source 25, and then we'll come back to this Tosfos. He says exactly that. In Source 25, he says, Ula mitzvah Talmud Torah, hi mitzvah klalit. Talmud Torah is an all-encompassing obligation, hamakifa kol yama v'sha'otav shal adam, that surrounds all of our days and our hours, shenemar v'kita bo yom v'layla, that you should think about it day and night. Va'af im adam lamad baboker, and even if a person learns in the morning, adayin yesh alav mitzvah l'ulmo ba'erev, you can't just say, I learned, so now I can go do whatever I want. There's always, your Torah is a 24/7 obligation. Uvechol shashi panet, whenever you're free, you have an obligation to learn Torah. Va'od, and now he says what Eric says, va'od shegam kasher ha'adam eino lome Torah, even when you're not learning, ha'torah madricha et chayav bitchumei ha'alacha hamidot ve'amuna. The Torah guides our life in halacha, in our character traits, in our emuna, right? You always have emuna. The Torah is a guidepost, a guide for us, a life guide. The afilu be'et she'adam mitpane o midraches. Even if you're in the bathroom or you're getting in the shower, getting washed, she'aser lo lahar b'divrei Torah. And even in times when you're not even allowed to think about Torah, like you're in the bathroom, mikol malkom yeshnan halachot hamadrichot otogam sham. There's still halachos for going to the bathroom and for showering, and halachos for all these things that you should be making sure to follow. Meaning the Torah is guiding you at every single point, every single step of our lives. The Torah guides us, and that's why kach she'ein adam mitnatek me'at. So that a person is never separated from the Torah at any point in time, in any place, a person is not separated from the Torah, and that's why we can say the Birchot HaTorah that you say in the morning can go on. You don't even necessarily have to learn right away. You can basically live your life right after that, because if you're living life of Torah. You're living out Torah. The Torah guides us in our work and in our actions and in our interactions. And even in the bathroom and everywhere, the Torah guides us. And this is one way to understand it. And then he says, "Lachein birchat haTorah shemivarechin baboker ola lechol alimut sheyom adadam beveshach koloto ayom." And therefore, the Torah is going to go on. The bracha that you make goes on any Torah that you're learning that whole day. Veshum avoda o esek enam nechshavim hefsek legabe. And it's not a hefsek if you do lots of other activities, because the Torah is guiding you. That is one way to understand Tosfos. The second way to understand Tosfos, I think we'll come to in a few minutes. But this is one. That's one way to understand Tosfos. So now, if we go back to Tosfos, back to source 19. Tosfos then tells us a tangent, an interesting tangent. The Im Tomar, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines up. In towards the end of the line. I don't know, 8 words from the end of the line. The Im Tomar, everybody? You have it? Yeah, there. The Im Tomar. Mipnei ma'ein anu mevarachim lishon basukkah. Why don't we say a bracha of going to sleep in the sukkah? So it seems like a bit of a tangent here. This is why... I can't say not this particular example, but I've heard from at least one very prominent rabbi that to be a big post, you have to know Kol Torah Kula, because here we have in a Tosos in Brachos a question: why didn't you make the bracha of Lishon Basukkah, which is a sukkah question? And if somebody just learned a Sechet Sukkah, they would know a lot, but they wouldn't be a big posek because you'd have to know that there's a Tosfos in Brachos that talks about Sukkah too. So Tosfos here says, why don't we say Lishon Basukkah? So first he says V'yishlomer debracha dachila shemivarchin leishay potarato. Right. So first we just the leishay basukkah is all encompassing and it includes sleeping too. Fine. Inami mishum shema lo yishan. Maybe you're not going to fall asleep. So he says, maybe you're not going to fall asleep. Then it's a bracha levatala. How can you make a bracha lishon basukkah, and then maybe you might lie there tossing and turning for hours without falling asleep, and it's a bracha levatala? I think I didn't look at this in advance, but it just came to mind. This is why we don't make bracha on some more obvious things that maybe we should make a bracha on, like giving tzedakah, mishloach manot, something like that, because you don't know if the other person is going to receive it or not. You can't make a bracha that you're going to give tzedakah and you put your money out, and for whatever reason the guy says, I don't want your money. Then it'll be bracha levatala. So it's kind of like the same thing here. If you can't be guaranteed a result, then you shouldn't make a bracha. You can't guarantee you're going to fall asleep right away, therefore don't make the bracha. And now we come to Rabbeinu Tam.
I didn't know that there was a bracha about sleeping in this.
There's not. So Tosfos says not. Oh. That's his question. His question is, why don't you? Relationship of sukkah is more like you're sitting in the sukkah, but if you have an obligation to sleep too, make the bracha before you go to sleep. So first he says, maybe leishev is just means everything. It just means whatever you're going to do in the sukkah. At least that's my understanding of it. And the second answer is that you can't make a bracha, even though maybe theoretically you should, because practically you never know if you're going to fall asleep or not. You know, I don't know if you had a cup of coffee, you don't know, maybe you'll stay up. You took a nap that day. At least those are my two reasons for not falling asleep at night. Okay, so, Hayom Rabbeinu Tam, 4 lines up. Kisha Adam, now we're going to have to plug this back into, now back to, is Birchot HaTorah a Birchot HaShevach, a Bracha of praising God, or is it a Birchot HaMitzvah? Let's see what Rabbeinu Tam says. Kisha Adam, Omeid Mimitato Balayla, Lilmod, if you wake up from your bed in the middle of the night to start learning Torah, She'ein Tzorich Levarech Birchot HaTorah, you do not have to make another Bracha, even though you were sleeping. That's a pretty big hefsek, it's a pretty big interruption. Rabbeinu Tam still says, you don't make a Bracha, if you got up in the middle of the night at 2 a.m. and you said, okay, I'm awake, I'm going to go learn Torah. Rabbeinu Tam, we don't paskin like this. I think we'll come to that also. But Rabbeinu Tam is of the opinion you would not make a bracha. Why not? Mibnei shebirchot haTorah shel etmol shacharit poteret ad shacharit acheret. The bracha that you made the next morning is a 24-hour. You just have to make the bracha once every 24 hours. You make your bracha, and it's good for till the next morning. So what does Rabbeinu Tam say? It's clearly not a birchat hamitzvah. If it was a birchat hamitzvah, after you went to sleep and you had that big interruption, you should make the bracha. For Rabbeinu Tam, it's clearly a birchat hashevach. Once a day, you praise God. Just like you say, she'natan l'sech vivina, and then shalos ani God. You also say Lasok b'divrei Torah and Ve'arevna and Sherbachor Banu. It's just once a 24 hours. It's a Birchas Hashavach, but Tosfos disagrees. He says V'lo Nehira. Tosfos doesn't explain why. He says, but I don't think this is right. For Tosfos, does not agree with Rabbeinu Tam that if you woke up in the middle of the night, you would have to make a bracha. But we'll come to that in a few minutes. This Tosfos is just really background and introduction to now these topics. And now take a look, Avram. Take a look at V'hatzarfatim. So the people in France. Three lines up. Nahagu lomar psukim ubirchot kohanim. So the French people, their minhag was to say psukim and birchot kohanim, and vegam elu dvarim she'en lahem shiur shehi mishnah, and they would say the mishnah in peah. And they would basically say, if you look in our Sidurim, they would say those things that come in our Sidurim. Right after you say, Notena Torah, we say, Yivarechecha Hashem Yishmerecha, then we say, Eilu Dvarim Shelem Shiur, and then we say, Shadamocha Bartem Balamazah, and this is where, this, as far as I know, is the source of it, is that I was trying to look why I didn't get very far, but the Tsarfatim, also they would say other psukim, apparently. Shehi Braita Mibnei HaYerushalmi Debai Shel Yilmod Al Atar, because of the Yerushalmi that says you have to learn right away. So what did they understand? That Sarfatiim understood that it's not a Birchot HaShevach, it's a Birchot HaMitzvah, and that right, the best thing, they don't, Tosfos says you don't have to do this, like he explained before that it can go for any Torah that you were learning the whole day, but for the Sarfatiim it seems that it's a birchat hamitzvah, and it's not enough to say I'm going to learn Torah in 10 hours. You know, birchat hamitzvah, you got to do it right away. I don't know if they. I can't say if they did this because you were absolutely required, or because if they thought it was a good idea to do, just a good idea. But in any event, this is the source for us, and I think, can't remember last week, maybe it was Lewis, like, pointed out that us with our Sidur kind of takes away some of these questions. There are still other questions that remain to us, but we have a Sidur and we're doing this all the time. So even if you assume it's a Birchat HaShevach, you would not have to say anything right afterwards. And even if you assume it's a Birchat HaMitzvah already, we're not going to really have an interruption between our Bracha and our act of Talmud Torah, because we go from Notein HaTorah right into Yivarechecha Hashem V'Yishmerecha.
Yeah.
But the question then is, or at least what we take away from here is that there might be two practical ramifications of the question of whether the Birchot HaTorah or Birchot HaMitzvah or Birchot HaShevach. One is you have to learn mamash right afterwards. If it's a Birchot HaMitzvah, maybe. The Tzofratim say yes, you would have to learn right afterwards. Tosfos says, because v'higita bo yomam v'layla, the Torah is always on your head, you wouldn't have to learn right. It's still Birchot HaMitzvah, you just wouldn't have to learn right afterwards. And then the third option is that it's a Birchot HaShevach, and you would not have to learn right afterwards. And we saw these represented in the different Balei HaTosfot. Okay, now let's see what the Halacha is. Actually, but you know, before we get to the Halacha, there's a second explanation of this Tosfos. Very nice explanation from Rav Soloveitchik. So remember we said this is going on that assuming that it's a Birchot HaMitzvah, so you would need to learn, but any learning during the day counts and you wouldn't have to make another bracha during the day, right? Even if you learn, you said Birchot HaTorah, then you learned a little bit, then you went to work all day, then you went to Dav Yomi at 10 p.m., you would still not have to make a bracha, Birchot HaTorah at 10 p.m., because the bracha in the morning went for the whole day. So the Rav, on April 1st, 1973, at Yeshiva University, they finished learning the first chapter of Masechet Chulin. And the Rav was asked, I'm just here, it's in the introduction to this. I think this is oft quoted because there was a phrase from here that caused me to look for this essay. The Rav was asked just to say a few words. The Shir, they finished the first Perek Masechet Chulin. So they asked the Rav to say something about finishing a Perek. So the essay is called On the Love of Torah, Impromptu Remarks at a Siyum. So the Rav talked about loving Torah. Then he says here, he quotes the Brach of Birchat Torah. Then he says, Torah is not only to be studied, but demands an all-encompassing involvement. Lasok Divrei Torah. And he quotes our Tosfos. So he says, Tosfos asks, why the blessing for Torah, recited once in the morning, suffices for each time one learns during the day, no matter how many interruptions have taken place? Right? Why, example, you went to work. Why does the bracha that you made in the morning, assuming it's a birchat mitzvah, apply to learning to Daf Yomi at 10 p.m. at night? While the blessing for residing in the sukkah must be recited anew each every time one returns to the sukkah after leaving it. And Tosfos' answer is that obligation of Talmud Torah is continuous, that one is always conscious of the mitzvah, But for Sukkah, a discontinuity of the awareness requires you to make a new bracha. So why is that? So now the Rav explains what this means. He says, apparently, I'm reading here, this is from the book, Shiurei HaRav, that was given to me for my graduation from high school on June 10th, 2003, by the school. The school gave it to everybody. So apparently, there are two kinds, this is page 183, there's two kinds of awareness, according to Tosafot. The first is, ready for this? The first is acute awareness. Clearly, this is lacking when one thinks about other matters. Acute awareness is what we would call a hefsek. Either you're acutely aware of something, or your mind is elsewhere, and that's an interruption. You're acutely aware that you're sitting in your sukkah, eating your sukkah, or you leave, and now your mind gets off of the sukkah, and you make a new bracha when you go in. And the second, and this is the phrase that I remember, which is what caused me to look for this, what the Rav calls latent awareness.
Latent.
And this awareness is still present when you're engaged in other matters. Acute awareness, you have to devote all your energy and attention to it, or it's gone. Latent awareness is present. And he compares this.
Passive. So
it's, well, late. Yeah, it's in the back of your mind. It's hidden in the back of your mind. And he compares it. A real beautiful comparison. When a mother plays with her child, there's acute awareness. But when the mother works or is distracted, there's a natural latent awareness of her child's existence. This latent awareness remains throughout her entire lifetime and can never be extinguished. It is expressed in commitment, devotion, a feeling of identification, a feeling that she and the baby are one. They cannot live without they feel they cannot live without their child. And now the Rav says the same is true with regard to Torah. There's time, he says, there may not be acute awareness for Torah for 24 hours. It's impossible. You're sleeping, you're working, you're going to grocery shopping, you're doing lots of things. This is the other way to understand Tosafot, right? Not the very practical. The Panini Halacha, like Eric said, was very practical. Every step in your life, you're living Torah. The Rav is not saying that. He's saying, but at every step in your life, you have a latent awareness. The latent awareness never ceases. Okay, skipping a little bit. Here, just as I am always aware of my existence without having to walk around saying, I exist, so should I be aware of Torah. That the bracha that you make on the morning, there's always going to be this latent awareness in your mind of Torah. Just reading because I didn't underline, looked at it this. Here, no matter how much involved one is in other matters, there's always this awareness and appreciation for Torah as the highest value. So this is what the Rav says about the bracha, why it's not a hefzeg, because there's always going to be a latent awareness with you the whole day. And then for this reason, when we make a siyum, we say hadran alach, we shall return to you. As far as acute awareness, you're leaving the chapter, you're leaving the Masechta, you're going on to the next thing. But the latent awareness remains, and for that reason we say we're going to return. We basically say, we identify with Chulin. That was the parak, that was what they finished. We identify with this parak. It's a part of our essence. It's always in our minds, and we return to it. It is just like that when the mother leaves her child and says, I'll be back. She doesn't say this merely to encourage the infant. She expresses the basic truth. A mother leaves only to return. Otherwise, she would never leave. And he says it's the same thing when you finish the parak. You leave only to return. So this is the other way of understanding Tosafot, which I think is very nice, very powerful, very important to be aware of. This idea from Rav Soloveitchik about that he said at the Siyum that in Torah there's always this latent awareness, like a parent to a child, that even if you're working, you're doing something, that you always in the back of your mind, always you're identifying somewhere. It's in your knowledge. It's in your knowledge. So he says the same thing. You say the same thing for Talmud Torah, and that's why the bracha they make in the morning still goes for that at night. Because when you start learning at 10 o'clock at night, that's what we could call acute awareness. That's when you're actually learning, but up until that point, you had your latent awareness of Torah, because Torah is so fundamental to our essence. So this is the other way to understand Tosafot, which I think is very powerful, very important. That is from all 44 years ago. And I think still, it's fantastic. Really, I find very powerful. So now, there's two questions that we need to talk about here, which is come from everything we've been speaking about. One is, la halacha, what's the halacha? Do you need to learn right after you make Birchot HaTorah? And two is, what happens if you actually don't learn if you take a break from 7 a.m. till 10 p.m.? Do you need to make another bracha? Then question three is, what about staying up all night? Then we'll now come to the practical halacha. So the Shulchan Aruch in source 20, Shulchan Aruch says, Yesh omrim she'im hivsig bein birchot haTorah lelimudo ein bechach klum. V'hanochon shelo lahavsig beinayim. So Shulchan Aruch says, if you said birchot haTorah and you just didn't learn after, not such a big deal. But v'hanochon, don't do it. V'hanochon is go right in from Asher Bachar Banu into Yivarechecha Hashem v'yishmerecha. That's the better thing to do. And that's, he says, that was the minhag, that you say Birchat Kohanim to learn right after Birchat HaTorah, so that you go right from your bracha, which sounds like Birchat HaMitzvah, into learning. But what did the Shulchan Aruch say? What does he really say? Bottom line, you don't have to. It's better to do it. So the Mishnah Berurah here disagrees. And the Mishnah Berurah says, four lines down, Rov Achronim, he says, most of the Achronim disagree. Cholkim al hamechaber, demaskim ledata yesh omrim. Hazeh, delo kadav mechaber rak ve'anachom v'chule. So most of the Achronim disagree with the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch said, you don't have to learn right after. The Mishnah Berurah says, that's not true. V'svira lehu, didin birchot haTorah k'mo b'chol, birchot haMitzvot onenin. He says, most of the Achronim say that it's like a birchot haMitzvot, birchot haNenin. Therefore, titzarech lachzor levarech im hivsik tekev achar habracha. If you said, Asher, you said all the brachot, and you didn't learn right afterwards, you have to make the bracha again. Your bracha was a bracha levatala, because it's a birchat hamitzvah that you have to learn right afterwards. Okay, even if you didn't know yet, if you didn't have hesach hadas, you still have to do it. And then skipping to the end of the next line, v'chein hiskim ha-prichadash v'hagra, v'chein hetik ha-chaye adam le-halacha. So he says, there are many achronim who say you must learn right after Birchot HaTorah. When we call Mako, nearly, the Mishnah Berurah, the bottom line is, the Kevon Sheish Poskim, Shesover, and the Ein Zarech Lachzor Levarech, Yoter Tovim Irolo Shehivsek Acher Birchot HaTorah, Shechavin Acharka, Birchot Ava Rabba, let's say, Bazei De Birchot HaTorah, Vimu Ma'at Tekev Acher Shesiem Tfilato. What does the Mishnah Berurah say? Mishnah Berurah says, well, first Shulchan Aruch again. The Shulchan Aruch says you don't have to say the bracha right after, you don't have to learn right after, but better to do it. And the Mishnah Berurah says, really, the Achronim say you must say the bracha right, you must learn right afterwards, but because there's enough, the Shulchan Aruch doesn't say that, the Mishnah Berurah practically suggests, if you said Birchot HaTorah, but didn't learn right afterwards, have kavana, fall back on the Ava Rabba. You could have kavana and Ava Rabba and learn right afterwards, and it would be better to fall back on that to avoid this situation of should you actually make the bracha again or not. So this is...
So in this case, the learning immediately after completing davening would not be sufficient. Would not qualify.
It would. The uvalatzion. No. The uvalatzion. That's what you mean?
Then, no, because you're saying you have in mind an Ava Rabba. We shouldn't have to need to have in mind an Ava Rabba. Because the learn, if you have in mind Ava Rabba, then the learning, even whether it's evolution or at the end of davening, satisfies.
Right.
So, but it doesn't satisfy. If it would satisfy for the bracha at the beginning, then you wouldn't need to be Ava. Ava. Ava would only come into play if you forgot to say.
So it wouldn't the evolution wouldn't satisfy the bracha at the beginning because there would be too much of a hefsek. Right.
That's too much of a hefsek.
Yeah.
I think it's basically
in that case, I think because you learn at your first opportunity that's available to you. Once you have Ava Rabba, it's impossible to stop because you have to say Shema. The bracha goes for Shema. You smicha gula letfilin, you must go into Shemona Esrei. So I think it's one of those. I think it's one of those. It's not a hefsek because you're continuously occupied in something that you have to be doing.
Well, what about after Tachnun
goes with it. It could be right. It could be in laning. It could be that maybe then you should, or maybe I don't know. Maybe laning counts for your Talmud Torah if you're listening to it then. So the days that you're not. Also, I don't. The Mishnah, the Pnine Halacha says also, he's the one who says also this Uval Etzion counts. I don't know, maybe there's a reason to say it doesn't, maybe the Mishnah doesn't agree to that, I don't know, but basically, right, if you're going to have Kavana that your Ava Rabba is going to fulfill your Birchot HaTorah, then you really would have to learn afterwards. Yeah. Okay, so the Pnine Halacha quotes, if anybody wants, he basically quotes most of what we said in footnote in 22 in this footnote here. That so if anybody wants to take a look at it later on, he quotes it maybe more in detail in the names of the Rishonim. So fine, we'll skip that and we'll skip that for now. So that's question one. So the answer really is you do have to learn right after. And now what about a hefsek? So the Shulchan Aruch says in source 23 from Simon Memzai in Siv Yud, Im hifsik mililbo v'nit asik ba'asakov. If you stop learning because you have to go to work or you have to do other stuff, kevin shedato lachzer lilmot, since you're going to go back and learn afterwards, so it's lo have hefsek. When I was going through this, I read that and I said, that doesn't really make sense that it says have hefsek. So then I looked it up to make sure, and it's lo have hefsek. And since I think I just copied and pasted, it's possible that I cut this out, that I might have made a mistake, but I have to double check and email the Bar Ilan people if it says have hefsek, because that's the actual opposite of what it says. So I'm going to have to double check that. But it's not a hefsek, right? If you stop learning, the Shulchan Aruch says, not a hefsek if you continue learning later. This is the same thing for Shena here, refers to taking a nap. We'll talk about long sleep. This is a shorter nap. Or taking a bath, or going to the bathroom. Lo have a hefsek. It's not a hefsek. And now, Shena keva bayom. What if you take a long nap during the day? This is actually a pretty interesting question. You take a long nap during the day. The Shulchan Aruch says, "Sheinat keva bayom al mitato have hefsek." That is a hefsek. If somebody takes a two-hour nap in the middle of the afternoon, that's a hefsek from the Birchat Torah in the morning. But he says, "V'yesh omrim de lo have hefsek v'chein nagu." He quotes both opinions. Machlok Rishonim. Some Rishonim say it is a hefsek. Some Rishonim say it's not a hefsek v'chein nagu, that it's not a hefsek. If it's not a hefsek, you would not have to make a bracha again because there was no interruption. Okay. And the Mishnah Brura here says, in source 24, "Uvelechem chamudo katav v'li nira shamevarech tavolov bracha." He quotes the lechem chamudo that it actually is a hefsek. You should make a bracha again. V'chein nahag mori mahari levarech, and he quotes the lechem chamudo quotes his rav who used to make a bracha. V'chein hiskim aprichadash ve'aliyah rabba v'shem harbei me'rishonim v'achronim, and the prichadash and the aliyah rabba and a lot of the rishonim and the achronim and the gra and the chaye adam, they all say if you take a nice nap in the day, you should make a bracha. So now we have an interesting question of what should you practically do. The Shulchan Aruch says, first he quotes, it is a hefsek to make a bracha, but then he says, you don't make a bracha, it's not really a hefsek. And the Mishnah Berurah quotes a lot of people who say that it is a hefsek. So I had this question once with one of my friends who took a nap, and he starts to say Birchat HaTorah, and I was like, well, I don't know, what are you doing? Well, you don't have to say it. And he was like, no, you do have to say it. So that's here. The Mishnah Shulchan Aruch says you don't have to say it, and the Mishnah Berurah says you do have to say it. So practically, if we take a look at source 26, we did source 25, that was the Pnine Halacha's understanding of the Tosos. If we take a look at source 26, from Halachapedia, which is a fantastic website, it's a project of students of Yeshiva University. It sets forth halacha, very clear, very concise.
More reliable than Wikipedia.
Wikipedia is, I think, pretty. They used to tell us Wikipedia is not reliable back, I don't know, 15 years ago. Not reliable, but gosh, I think Wikipedia is pretty reliable. But yeah, this is. I mean, it's not. There's some things that I think they say are reviewed by Rav Willig. Maybe I think a lot of things are not. A lot of the things are not. But they're giving you sources, so you can only. Like, I don't think, I think there's some essays that they publish or something like that are reviewed or they speak to Rav Willig about, but I don't think every single thing. So here, if one slept during the day for a long period of time, one does not make Birchat HaTorah again upon waking up. And even though there's what to rely on for making the brachot again, i.e. the Mishnah Berurah who quoted all those achronim, the minhag ha'olam is not to do so. And instead, maybe better, he said you should hear them from someone who's obligated. Fine. And in footnote 30, they really quote the whole thing. The Shulchan Aruch says, then he quotes those who's not hefsek, the Eliyahu Rabbah, and then if you skip, I don't know, four or five lines, however, towards the end of the line, many contemporary poskim, and he Piskei Tshuva, Halicho Shlomo, Rivei Sefraim, Isha Yisrael, Karni D'Igrita, halachically speak, Karni D'Igrita, halachically speaking, Piskei Tshuva, they all write that the minhag is not to do it. So that's our now. That's our next takeaway. Takeaway, practical takeaways. The really, you should say right after you learn, you should say the bracha. That was from the previous, right? Right after you make the bracha, the Torah, make the bracha. And now, if you took a nap or any sort of hefsek during the day, you should not. The minhag is really not to make new bracha to Torah. Because I presumably I guess this is more of a hefsek question. I didn't look so much into this, but practically that's the bottom line. Don't make a bracha after you take a nap. If you did, nobody would call it a bracha levatala. Mishnah Berurah says that you should, but the practical minhag is not to. And which takes us now to the last question that we're going to talk about.
What's the difference between a nap and sleeping at night? Because that's when it's a new day and you start again.
Okay. That's exactly that. I didn't put it in the source sheet, but the Shulchan Aruch says that im lama balayla. He says, "Im lama balayla halayla holech achar yom shavur eino serach lachzor levarich kol zman shelo yashen." If you are learning at nighttime, it's 10 p.m. You go to the daf yomi shiur, or for whatever reason you just didn't go to sleep that day, and it's midnight and you're learning. You shouldn't make a bracha. But if you went to sleep at night, like Luz just said, if you went to sleep at night already, that's going to be an interruption, and you would have to make another bracha. So if you went to sleep, probably, if you took a few hour nap at night also, I would think it would be the same thing. If you took a few hour nap at nighttime in your bed, you got into bed, you went to sleep, that would be an interruption. So the Mishnah Berurah now in source 27 on that says, "Rotze lomar sheinat keva avam yashan sheinat keva amitato afilu b'tchilat halayla chashiv hefsek." Even if you took a sheinat keva, right, probably a nap for over 30 minutes. I think there's a big discussion where the line is between a rai, or some type of temporary and a full fledged sleep. But that's considered to be a hefsek. He says, even the yesh omrim that says during the day you wouldn't make a bracha after a nap, at night, you would. At night, if you slept for 2 hours at night, so come this Shavuos and you're going to stay up all night and you go to sleep from 9 to 11 or 10 to 12 so you can wake up and then go learn. If you slept for those 2 hours, certainly if you did it in your bed, you would be chayev to make another bracha, birchot haTorah. So now, the question about staying up all night. The im haya neyor kol halayla. What happens, this is in the second line in source 27, this is always an interesting question, if you were awake all night. Yesh omrim, de'ein sarach levarech baboker. There's a yesh omrim that you don't have to make the bracha you wouldn't have to make the brachas when you start to daven. The yesh omrim, de'tzarech levarech ki kabu chachamim brachazo b'chol yom dumi deshar birchot ha-shachar. The savik bracha, okay, fine, well, so there's two opinions. Opinion one is you don't make the bracha, and opinion two is you would have to make the bracha because Chazal were mitakin, you make the bracha every day. So now, how do these fit into what we were talking about? If we say you do have to make a bracha because Chazal say every 24 hours you have to make a bracha, that's what we call birchat hashevach. Once a day, every 24 hours, you got to make this bracha. So even if you stayed up all night, you make the bracha. You can make the bracha yourself if it's a birchat hashevach. But the opinion that says you wouldn't have to, it's very easy to fit that into a birchot mitzvah, right? And you made the bracha, and up until the point where you have like a hefsek, where you go to sleep or something like that, your bracha that you made still goes with you. So he quotes this as a machloket, v'safek brachot lahakel. Right, so the Mishnah Berurah paskins that when in doubt, safek brachot, that's a principle that we have, you're b'mekel. Yeah, what are you going to say?
The rice
okay, yeah, that's what the Pnimei Halacha is going to say. It's these are actually two concepts that I guess could butt heads. Savik brachah lahakel is a concept, and savik deraita lachumra. So it's probably not so common that these concepts go head to head. But here the Mishnah Berurah says savik brachah lahakel. So you shouldn't make the bracha. Ach. So what should you do? Im efshalo yerlishma birchat datorah me'acher. What should you do in this case? If you stayed up all night and there are birchat hashevach, you shouldn't make it. You should make it. If it's a bircha, if you stayed up all night and it's a bircha that mitzvah, then you shouldn't make it. So what should you do? You should find somebody else and listen to it from them. And this seems to be, this is like the third or fourth time that this has come up in birchas haTorah. Find somebody else and listen to them. Find somebody else. You should find somebody else and tell them, you have kavana to fulfill my obligation for me, and I'm going to listen with kavana to fulfill my obligation and say amen, amen. V'yane amen. So you should say amen, and then you yourself should say v'yomar charkach eze psukim kidei she'nechshav lo b'makom limud. So then you should say the psukim, right? So let's say I'm fulfilling everybody here's obligation. So I'll say asher kiddushanu b'misotav yitzvanu la'asok b'divrei Torah. Nobody says amen because right, it's the middle of the bracha. And I'm gonna say v'harev. Then I'm gonna say what was it? Hamlamei Torah lama Yisrael. Everybody says amen. Right, that's one bracha. Then I'm gonna. That's the first. La asok b'divrei Torah, and hamalamet that goes into v'harev and hamalamet Torah lema Israel. Everybody says amen. Right. Then I'm gonna say asher bracha rabanu mikolam miminatan lanu Torah to bracha Hashem notena Torah. Everybody's gonna say amen. Mm-hmm. Then we're all gonna. Everybody's gonna read for themselves. Yivarechecha because you're learning because you gotta learn. Right. You can't just say amen and like you know dilly dally or do something else. Right. You should say amen if it's fulfilling counting as your obligation for bracha Torah. You have to. You should learn after like we saw in the. Like we saw in the Shulchan Aruch before. And then he quotes, but the other option, what's going to be the other option? You can probably figure it out. What's the other option? If, because there's a doubt, and the Mishnah Berurah says, not if you stayed up all night not to make the brachas in the next morning yourself, you could have kavanah in Avarabah. Like we said, if it's all when in doubt, or if you can just have kavanah. So the Mishnah Berurah says, or what you could do is, you can have kavanah in Avarabah, and of course, learn after davening.
So you should skip then. Those three sections then.
Why? Why? Because oh, because you're saying them before. For yourself, yeah.
Yeah.
For yourself, yeah. Presume, yeah. There's an interesting discussion I think about whether davening itself, the psukim that you're learning in davening, that you're saying in davening, there's lots of psukim, if that counts as Talmud Torah. But I think we say that they don't. That it's because you're saying it as a way of Bakasha, you're saying it in some type of davening format that those psukim don't count. So yeah, if you're not going to say the bracha, then you shouldn't say Yivarecha Hashem and all that. Yeah. So now we come to Rabbi Kiva Eger, because Rabbi Kiva Eger has a suggestion here that is always quoted for staying up all night. Always quoted. So now we're three lines up from the end of the paragraph. This is very important. V'im ha'ya yashen bayom shein ad kevra. If you took a nap, like a real nap. In bed for probably a few hours, maybe even, I don't know, 1 hour, whatever. You took a real good nap. Uvalayla shel acharav haya neir kol alayla, and then you stayed up all night, which is presumably what most people do on Shavuos. You're taking a nap during the day.
Oh, that's the day before.
The day before.
Not at night.
The day before, not at night.
On the afternoon.
The day before.
It's foyantav even. Right.
You're taking a nap the day before. You have to say the bracha the next morning. You can say it yourself if you took a nap the day before. So we're talking about this and why. Okay, fine. This is what the Mishnah Berurah says. If you took a nap on Erev Shavuos, a good nap for a few hours, you yourself could say the bracha the next morning. So the question now is why? Yeah. Why could you do this? So Rabbi Brovsky here quotes that does he call it a brilliant suggestion, or I might have read that somewhere else?
Yes,
oh, he does see the words. Okay. So Mr. Bruce offers a brilliant solution to this quandary. He suggests that if one engages in a Shenat Keva the day before, then you can say Birchat Torah the next morning, even if you're awake. So he argues Mimanav Shach. Right, what do we say? If it's a birchat hashevach that you need to say every 24 hours, then the next morning, you yourself are chayav.
Then there's no issue. Then the nap is not the nap that's
right,
coming to play.
Right. And alternatively, if it's birchat hamitzvah, then they should be recited after an interruption, such as a long afternoon nap. He says, if it's a birchat hamitzvah, There's one assumption here that
will... Yeah, the whole gap, though, when you wake up to your nap until the morning.
Which you're going to...
the bracha then.
It's...
If that's elastic then you should be making the bracha right away.
I think because the whole way through we're not sure which way to paskin, so we're generally, it's a good question. I started to wonder about that. I think it's because it's a doubt the whole way through. So we're almost never gonna tell you make the brachot again because savik bracha lahakel and all these ideas. So, if we're going to tell you Savik Brocha Lahakel, the next morning, we can assume that you're Chayiv no matter which way you go about it. If it's a Birchot HaShevech, you're Chayiv. If it's a Birchot HaMitzvah...
Fine.
If it's a Birchot HaMitzvah. But the afternoon before... the afternoon before, if it's a Birchot HaShevech, you never be able to say the afternoon
right.
before.
But if it was a Birchot HaMitzvah, then you...
If it's exclusively a Birchot HaMitzvah, then it's very possible that you were lacking. It's very possible that you were lacking the afternoon before. Yeah, yeah. But maybe that's actually why I didn't think this that much through. But the Halachapedia suggests that you should hear them from somebody who's obligated if you took that long nap because the minhag olam.
But
I don't
so
know if we did
hear
that. That's impossible. Yeah.
In the afternoon,
yeah. No. Agreed. Practically agreed. But theoretically, maybe that's why they. Maybe that's why they say it, because you
why
might.
Why would Eppert be doing it though?
He slept till 2 p.m.
Yeah,
I don't know. But yeah, that's basically the day before when you wake up from your nap. For that we can, where do we see that? For that we can sufficiently paskin, like the Mishnah Berurah here said, Savek Bracha Lahakel. That was this. Where? No, the Mishnah Berurah there said Tuesday. For that maybe all these Achronim that the Halachapedia quoted in the footnote would talk about this. I don't know. But the afternoon before, it's sufficiently... Only if it's a Birchot HaMitzvah would you assume that you'd have to say it. But if it's Birchot HaShevech, we would assume you wouldn't have to say it. So that's why we tell you don't say it. But the next morning, no matter which way you slice it, you're a chayiv. You would have been chayiv at that point in time.
It seems, though, he's putting it out. It's a great idea to take the nap. This way, if you do take the nap, that avoids all issues, but it
you're saying
really,
it might create another issue with your learning
really,
right away.
I mean,
yeah.
he's saying like that's the ultimate solution. You should do it, and then you have no issues. But I just, you know, maybe it's the best.
Well, maybe you have issues for the next morning, but you have an issue for the day before. Yeah, yeah. It could be. I was very excited because I always heard this Rabbi Kiviger, and I at least never understood the rationale to it. I was just said, okay, Rabbi Kiviger said that you slept the afternoon mm-hmm. before, so you say the brach the next morning. And I was very excited when I came across the rationale here that no matter which way you cut it, if it's a Birchot HaShevech, you have to say the next morning. And if it's a Birchot HaMitzvah, then you were chayev the moment that you really were chayev the moment that, yeah, I guess that's what we're saying. You really were chayev the moment that you woke up from your
right.
nap.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point in time, you have no more excuses the next morning. You have to say it. So this is, I think, a very common solution. To the problem of staying up all night on Shavuos, that if you yourself took that nap, then you could say the bracha. You can say the bracha without a problem. And it's good to know that the Panini Halachas are the last source in Source 29. The Panini, I'm sorry, it's a few minutes late. The Panini Halacha says, the gabay minhag Ashkenaz kadav Mishnah Berurah she'im ein lo mimish lishmat birchat haTorah yichavin la'aseh be'avav rabba. The Mishnah Berurah says if you have nobody who can say the bracha, what did the Mishnah Berurah say? Don't say the bracha yourself. Find somebody to say it for you. If not, then say it in avav rabba. V'zeh al pichay adam b'shem pichad shvah agra. V'chein aminya and he says, and this is the prevalent minhag. Ulam ledat magin Avraham. I don't know this divrei chayim. I don't know. The Eliyahu Rabba, the Shulchan Aruch Harav. So according to a lot of the other Acharonim, you could even say it yourself. Yivarachim ba'atzma v'chein kata v'olat re'iya b'mnei shezo bracha de'oraita v'savek de'oraita l'chumra. So there would certainly be more than enough to rely upon for if you didn't take a nap the day before at all, for you to still say Birchot HaTorah the next morning, because Sofek Deraita the Lechomra, V'cham Uvan, Sha'arot Elismoch Aleim Rashai. Says, of course, the Pinyin Halacha sounds like he's saying, who am I to tell you that if you wanted to rely on Rav Kook and the Shulchan Aruch HaRav and the Magen Avraham, right, who's the great early Achronim, then you have what to rely upon. So if somebody's staying up all night, this is very important to know. If you took the nap during the day before, you can say the brachas yourself the next morning without a problem. If you didn't, if you somehow were able to make it without any sort of naps the whole way through, so then the Mishnah Berurah suggests you hear from somebody else. That probably never hurts if you're gonna hear from somebody else. The only downside is they need to have kavana to fulfill you, and you have to need to have kavana to fulfill. Yeah. So that's one of the downsides, but or you could even say for yourself if you wanted to, if you ultimately wanted to.
That seems to me the best.